everybody, welcome back to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every single week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend Patrick Dean, who doesn't take it real seriously, and I nailed it that time, no problems, 100%, right across the plate.
Hot.
You happy?
Quite hot. Yeah, it's fine. I mean, not happy, but yeah.
But it's nothing to do with me, though, right? Yeah, you look pretty sleepy.
Yeah, it that happens. It's a Monday, you know, so the whole week has kind of gotten to me.
Yeah, I know, Garfield. I know. It's been a big, big week for you today.
So I have been, I'm off of the, I'm just down to like one cup of coffee a day now.
Ooh, why?
Which is, it was getting like really horrible anxiety. But the importantly, now I'm just tired all the time. So the good thing is I couldn't be tired all the time because I was worrying about, you know, just like dying all day long. Now I'm not doing that.
Well, that's good.
My body is taking a lot of breaks.
Which do you think is better, being tired or just being awake and terrified?
Oh, boy. If you'd ask me, like, right now?
Yeah.
It's a toss-up. It's not. It's a toss-up.
Okay. I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm not sorry about what we found out today, though. Do you know what that
is? I would like you, yeah, go ahead and you share with everyone what the information that you shared with me, and then let's talk about it.
So
I'm so excited.
There's this little known composer that I've been following
for a few years. Almost like a bespoke composer.
Yeah. I'm not even sure if anybody, I don't know if I'm pronouncing
this is not good podcast content because no one's going to know who this is. It's going to be like, turn off.
All right, fine. So, anyway, his name is Lin-Manuel Miranda. Okay.
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
Are you pronouncing that correctly? I'm not sure. I've only seen it written. I've never heard it said.
So he's done a couple things. He did
Moana. Most importantly,
he did Moana. He did not do Moana 2. I want everyone to be aware of that.
And that shows. Yeah.
He did Hamilton, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. We've heard of that.
He did probably other stuff. I don't know.
He's in the Heights. He did. Yeah.
In the Heights. That was the other one.
Yeah, he's got a contract for like 19 Disney things right now, I think.
He does. And it turns out the next film he is working on after he completes all the dozens of projects he's working on right now.
Oh, buddy.
Is a film about the Molina Catching Brothers of Major League Baseball fame.
You know, when you say Molina Catching Brothers, it sounds like a circus act.
And
I'm into that also.
on ESPN, when all three of them played in the league at the same time, they would play this game. They refer to them as the Flying Molina Brothers. And they would play a game where they would see if you could identify which Molina brother the highlight was going to be of when they described it.
That is fun.
It was a fun little game.
And this is especially exciting for us because, of course, Yadier Molina is Cardinals legend. He's royalty.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And his brother Benji Molina is the radio host of the Spanish broadcast of Cardinals games and is a fixture in the St. Louis Latin community.
So yes, indeed.
Met him several
And Benji,
times.
And they all played catcher, right?
All three they all caught, yes. Catcher. Yep. Jose, Benji, and Yadi. All three
Benji
caught.
Benji was Mets?
Benji played for Texas most famously.
Okay.
One of them
played for the Mets, right?
I think I think maybe Jose. I don't know. I think Jose also. I don't recall. This would have been good things to research before the podcast started.
Yeah, that's true. But
they played a lot of baseball for a lot of different.
But
people.
The big one is Yadi, and the secondary big one is Benji.
Yes.
For St. Louis reasons. Okay, so I'm really excited about this. I, of course, love Lin, and we're on a first name basis.
Right. Obviously.
And love Yadi, also on a first name basis. Mm-hmm. Okay. So he's going to do a movie about the Molina. Now from the article that you sent, it wasn't clear to me. Is it about the Molina brothers or is it like just starring the Molina brothers?
I'm almost certain it is the story of the Molina catching family because all three brothers won a World Series title on separate teams.
Yeah. That's incredible. I mean, gosh, proud parents, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's, I think that's that deserves a movie, you know.
It certainly does.
I don't know if it deserves Lin-Manuel Miranda for the movie.
I was going to say, but how many songs do you think will be in this movie?
And it's so hard to sing with that mask on. You got to keep taking it off and then sing your line and then put it back down and catch the pitch.
But they do that a lot anyway. So
that's true. Yeah.
The song breaks come when there are pop-ups. Yeah. And then they take the mask off and they do a little bit of song while they're looking at the ball and it's back on. If Yachty were going to sing a song, mm-hmm. right? If this is going to be a classic Lynn joint, as they say.
Yep.
What do you think? Throw some titles from some songs that he might get into.
I think what it's going to be is when he discovers he has fallen in love with baseball, he's going to sing a song called You've Caught Me. That's what it's going to be. Isn't that good? I know. I'm writing it down.
I hate how good that is. Yeah. Yeah. Do we know anyone who can call in? Hey, if you're listening and you know Lin-Manuel, tell him we have some thoughts. There's going to be a really sad song, I assume, when Pujols decides to lead the Cardinals. Yes.
Yeah. I imagine it's going to be very similar to Iron Claw, is what I assume. The movie's going to be very, very similar. You know,
I don't know Iron Claw.
Oh my God. It's the wrestling movie with Zac Efron, like the saddest movie ever made.
I don't think I've heard of this movie.
Okay.
I will say the saddest wrestling movie ever made is called The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke. Oh my goodness.
Yes.
So touche, my friend.
You need to do some giggling, some Googling.
Zach, giggle. Yeah. I will giggle as I Google Zac Efron wrestler. The Iron Claw. I don't see Zac Efron as a wrestler. Is he good? Was he good at it?
Look at some. He's of the pretty stills. Jacked. He's pretty. He's geared out of his mind.
When he's gotten big since his High School Musical days. Oh God, what happened to him?
Yes. Yeah.
How did he gain horizontal weight in his face? Did his jaw expand out to the sides?
I think they actually like pressed him under glass for some of the movie just to like squish him out really good.
Wow, he's so big now. All right. I'm interested.
Okay. So watch that first. I imagine it's going to be very similar.
Yeah. I have no point of reference for that conversation at this point, but we'll circle back.
Okay.
Yeah, very exciting stuff. Has Lin done a movie? You won't know the answer to this question. I don't know why I'm asking you. If I don't know an answer about Lin-Manuel Miranda, I don't think you will. Has he ever done a movie where he didn't write music for it? Like, what's his involvement going to be in this movie?
I mean, I have to imagine there's a musical association to it. I mean, he just redid The Warriors as a musical.
You know, and I knew The Warriors was coming out. I did not realize that he was behind The Warriors musical. Mm-hmm. I was already pretty excited because I do love The Warriors, but it's also that kind of genre of movie to stage thing where it's like, you're going to fuck this up so bad. It's like The Lost Boys and like, you know, there's no way you can do this justice. However, now that Lin is on board, I'm kind of excited. Mm-hmm. I'm interested.
I've yet to be let down a lot by him.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
Yeah. Not too much. That's very fun. So I guess more to come.
Yeah.
When we know more, you'll all know more about the Yadier Molina and brothers Lin-Manuel Miranda movie that may or may not contain music. What else? Anything else you want to talk about that?
Unless you have other Molina movie song titles to share with me, I think I'm good.
Oh God! Well, if we do the circus angle, there's something with rings, right? Because he's got the World Series ring, and tossing rings. Uh-huh, like, oh, maybe there's like a fun. Maybe it's like a cute, fun like tossing rings number where the brothers are all like tossing their World Series rings back and forth like a circus act, you know?
Okay,
like juggling the rings.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't move the story along, but it's like kind of a fun like.
It's a little filler. It gets cut from the VHS version. We'll put it that way.
It'll be in the director's cut for sure. Yeah. So that's one. Is that what you were hoping for?
Yeah, I think we're even. I think we're good. We're in good shape.
All right, great. Let's see. Well, what else should we talk about today? Anything else going on in your life that you want to share?
That was the highlight. That's been the highlight from the last few weeks right there. And it happened about 4 hours ago.
I was going to say, that's a rough few weeks. All right, very good. We are just about ready, I guess, to start the show then. I will say, hey, if you like all this pointless banter, you might also like to hear more of it on Ghost Plus. Go check out Ghost Plus. We do lots of extra ghost stories over there. We do a lot of extra content. We do the Smith Show is a whole thing. It's like this show, except instead of Patrick, it's Ryan. Instead of ghosts, it's just like insane shit from history. It's pretty fun. There's a the interns do their own thing now about cryptids. It's fun. It's good. It's fun, and it's only $5.99 a month, and it's so much stuff. So go check it out. Go to our website. Go check it out.
You spend $5.99 a month on a lot stupider shit than that. You know you
Can
do.
Can you imagine what sort of shit everyone spends $5.99 a month on? This is crazy.
And I'm
spend
not
on us instead.
And I'm not. Yeah, I mean, I'm not telling you necessarily to stop spending on that stupid shit. But I'm just saying you've got.
We enough. All need stupid shit.
Yeah.
But you've got an additional $6 to spend on even stupider shit, and we know that. And your first 7 days are free, so go check it out. And if you don't like it, then you can stop and not pay for it ever. And then I'll just send you sad emojis.
Yep.
Because now I have your email address because you did a 7-day trial. So that's on you, friend. All right. Well, that was a strange promo. Are you ready to hear a ghost story?
Please.
The year is 1661.
Oh, these are the good ones.
Yeah.
Not a lot of details back then, which is
no.
my favorite.
No.
a lot of stuff like sewn into tapestries that you're trying to interpret. That's really where it is.
Lots of dragons that might be cats. Not really sure, but we're going to talk about them. Let me paint a picture for you about the year 1661, because you're probably not very familiar.
I was not there.
I don't think you were.
No.
So here are some things that were going on in the world in 1661. Mm-hmm. In France, Louis the 14th, the Sun King, was just beginning his rule.
Mm-hmm.
So it's before Let Them Eat Cake. It's before the French Revolution. Mm-hmm. It's all before all that.
Yeah, honeymoon period right there.
Yeah. Oh, they're loving it. They're loving it. You don't call a guy the Sun King if he's not bringing the heat.
That is not an ironic one. You don't name him that one ironically.
So that's in France. Now over in Sweden, scientists found a unicorn skeleton.
Okay. All right. Okay. It's fine.
Yeah.
not everybody was perfect back then.
It did turn out eventually to be a woolly rhinoceros skull that someone had rearranged to look unicorn-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And it took them apparently months for someone to be like, I don't think this is actually a unicorn. And what a time to live in where you could be like, this is a unicorn. And everyone could be like, that is a unicorn.
Mm-hmm.
And just bask in that for a while. That sounds great. Over in England, it was so hot that year that all the eggs spoiled, which led to a massive outbreak of food poisoning.
Ugh.
That was pretty fun. And bodies were piling up in England after just a ton of years of plague and war, and now bad eggs. And so in 1661, people just started putting bodies on barges and pushing them off into the River Thames and then dumping them into the River Thames.
The only good thing about this is you really didn't have to worry a lot about personal hygiene that year. That was a very loose year right there. Deodorant sales. Non-existent.
Uh-huh.
Teeth brushing, not happening. No.
People got more laid that year than any other year previously because they just blamed it on the eggs. It's not me. It's these three spoiled eggs I'm carrying around in my pocket. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Was that you? No, that's the 10,000 dead bodies in the Thames, actually. That's that's what you're smelling. Not me.
Also in England, Sir Edmund Barry Godfrey was potentially murdered by a poisoned glove.
Oh. Okay.
So that's a thing that happened.
Hmm.
I guess they think someone maybe put poison inside a glove that they then sent to him and he put on the glove. When you get fan mail that's apparel, you don't put it on.
No, absolutely not.
You give it to an intern to put on and see how that goes.
You put that through the washer on a hot cycle, and a long time in the dryer, and then maybe you put it on.
Mm-hmm. Also in England, an architect named John Webb came up with a pretty solid idea to build a floating city in the Thames.
Ooh.
Which would ostensibly help London's overcrowding issue and also would serve as a military defense. And the rationale here was, and I kid you not, can't burn the buildings down if the buildings are on water.
Didn't we just have an episode about this?
It feels very familiar. Very familiar. Now, this plan didn't actually work out because engineers at the time said this was actually quite impossible because the entire island would sink from the weight of an entire city built on top of it.
Sure.
And then Parliament said no because they thought it was, and this is a quote, dangerously French.
My favorite kind of French.
Yeah. So this is the general state of the world in 1661, just so you know. You know, kind of where we're sliding into history here. Mm-hmm. And such was the world when a man named John Montpensier met another man who was playing a drum.
Okay.
Montpensier was visiting Ludgershall when he stumbled across a man.
What the fuck is it? Where's Ludgershall?
I think it's in England.
Okay. Let's check. So we're still in England.
Pronouncing it.
We're still with the bodies and the eggs and the deodorant and everything. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Ludgershall is a town in England. Yeah. It's here. I'll actually show you this. I just Googled this. This will answer a lot of your questions. None of this one. Ready? There you go. There's Ludgershall.
Okay. Yeah. So I could see you coming upon one man playing a drum here. Sure.
Yeah. And this
most notable thing that ever happened here. I really think we should release a cut of the show that also includes not just my camera and your camera, but also a feed of your screen as you frantically Google things in the middle of the episode. That I think would be very interesting for the at home listener.
You like it? You like the look of disinterest on my face? Work on that. All right, so that's Ludgershall, which I'm sure is pronounced very differently, and I'll hear a lot about it from Sally McGregor soon. Anyway, so Montpensier is visiting this town when he stumbles across a man named William Drury, who, quote, had been making a nuisance of himself in the town, playing his drum relentlessly and begging for money, much to the annoyance of the townsfolk. Now, I don't have any photos of William Drury because, of course, this was so long ago. But I do have a drawing of him that I think you'll like a lot. There he is.
That looks annoying as fuck. That guy looks so annoying.
Now, I don't know who this jaunty little fellow is.
That's the hoop and the stick game, right?
Yeah,
every time roll the hoop with the stick.
Yeah, now that's traditionally a child's game.
Yeah,
this looks like a grown man child-sized.
Either the perspective is way off in this picture.
This guy is standing so far away. Yeah. You just can't tell. But that's Drury.
And I like the two women and the little boy. I assume the little boy, maybe another teeny tiny man over there. Yeah. Except the woman in the middle has bare breasts hanging out of her cloak for some reason. I don't really understand.
It's the 1600s.
This seems like a really fun town once the drum guy leaves.
This is also a cutting from Peasants Gone Wild. So that's our boy, William Drury. So he's playing this drum, and the drum, as you saw, was huge. It's like, Jesus Christ, dude, you got to stop playing this drum. And he will not stop playing the drum.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is very annoyed by this goddamn drummer who will not stop drumming his drum. So Montpensier goes up to him, and he's not from here, right? He's visiting.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe therefore he's emboldened. I don't know. He goes up to him, and he says, "Hey, man, shut the fuck up. You got to stop banging his drum." Drury responds that he will not shut the fuck up. He says, I will keep drumming because I have a license to busk.
Oh, okay.
So he's a busker.
Mm-hmm.
You spent time in Chicago. You know the buskers.
I am very familiar. Yes.
Define buskers to anyone who maybe less worldly than us.
Busker is anyone who either sits stationary and plays an instrument very loudly.
Usually a bucket in my
A bucket my is a very common busking. Sometimes it is an abbreviated drum kit with a boombox nearby playing a melodic tune that you drum along to. Regardless, very loud in a very public place. And then you have a little bucket or a cup or something in front of you asking for spare bills or coins.
Yeah. So he says he has license to do that. And Montpensier says, "Well, can I see it?"
Mm.
And now Drury was not expecting this.
Yes. <'Cause> clearly no one not from here. Yeah. No one's ever asked for it.
And he cannot produce this permit because he does not have one. So he is drumming illegally. An illegal drummer.
Drumming under the influence, it appears.
So Montbassan says, someone, listen, everyone, townsfolk, listen to me. Someone has got to stand up for what's right. This aggression will not stand.
Standing up for silence.
And you know what? Honestly, God love him because someone has to. And so therefore, Montbassan takes William Drury to court.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Calls a constable and says, arrest this man. He has no license to busk.
This motherfucker knows how to go on vacation. This is, I'm liking this.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing in this town, but he is worked up. So he takes him to court. Now Drury's arrested. The bailiff confiscates the drum. That's going to be important.
Okay.
All right. The drum is separated from him.
From Drury.
Given to bailiff.
To bailiff, yes.
Now, there is not a lot of appetite for prosecuting this weirdo. Mm. So they took the drum. They're like, that feels like enough.
I think so.
Yeah. They decide to free Drury before he goes to trial.
Sans drum. Okay.
He cannot have the drum back.
Okay.
You can go, but you cannot have the drum.
This seems pretty fair. This is exactly what I would do with a 2-year-old child. So,
yeah, you've been in timeout for about an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's not drum time anymore. Maybe you'll get it back later.
You won't get it back. Daddy burned the drum.
The top drawer of my dresser. Yours is probably the exact same way. If I open up the top drawer of my dresser, it's, you know, socks and t-shirts and underwear, whatever. And then underneath of that layer of clothing is nothing but annoying fucking musical instruments that I have been hiding from my children since Stella was a baby.
So mine is different because we do not deprive our children of cultural implements.
You really? Know? Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
We do in the sense that we don't let them have them in the first place. We run a tight ship around here and we monitor every gift that comes through that door. And if it makes sound, it's going back to the sender. Thank you. Oh. Thank you. But no, thank you.
We also have in that drawer, I have a stack of questionable Berenstain Bears books. I don't know if you ever, have you come across any of these before?
Okay. First question. Is it Berenstain or Berenstain?
What? Berenstain?
You know the whole Mandela effect about this whole thing, right?
I think it's spelled Berenstain Bears, isn't it?
Yeah. Berenstain, yeah. Berenstain. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a handful.
Oh, you're not interested in going down that rabbit hole? Fine. Go ahead.
There's a handful of the books that didn't age terribly well. There's the weird, like, let's talk about racism one. I'm like, I didn't need
brother
this.
Brother finds a lawn jockey.
Yeah. Oh. It's like pandas move in next door. And then but of course they wear like the classic Chinese pointed hats and whatnot, and it's like, guys, you didn't have to do this. You could have just had another one about going to the dentist. Everyone would have loved that. That would have been fine. There's another one about bullies at school, and this, oh my God, I really just need to go get this one. the whole book is about like, okay, setting personal space and setting boundaries and whatnot. And then it, like the last three pages, they just teach the girl how to throw a punch. And and so she,
okay.
And so she goes to school. And she punches the bully in the mouth. Okay. That's fine.
Okay.
So then, this is the best part. Then the parents come up, and then the parents of the bully come up, and then the bully's parents are clearly abusive parents.
Oh, boy.
And they take the kid home, and then mother and father bear even say something along the lines of, I don't think she has a very good home life. Maybe we should just leave her alone. It's like, what the fuck?
You don't have to write that story.
So anyway, those are
that
the ones
is an unforced error.
Those are the ones that go in the underwear drawer with the recorder and the Christmas microphone and yeah, the noisemakers. So
boy,
anyway, we should do a reading sometime. of
I think that's a Ghost Plus content waiting to happen. No, our kids have not gotten into Berenstain Bears, which is, I guess, in hindsight, great. Because I don't
95% gold. 95% of them are gold. They're about growing big pumpkins and going to the dentist, and it's, yeah, gold.
Yeah. Yeah. Maple, she went to her daycare, took her class to a local Domino's franchise the other day, because like one of the woman who manages Domino's, her kids are in Maple's class at the daycare, and so she's like, well, they can come over for a field trip, and it was really great, and like everyone loved it. They got to go there, like, you know,
quote unquote, make
pizza. Yeah, they had to like smash
make a really shitty pizza.
Yeah, they made the shittiest pizza, and Maple loved it. Because Maple doesn't like pizza, but she loved that pizza. And I'm just like, I don't understand you, child. We have nothing in common. But they came away with this goodie bag, which is like some like discount cards for you know, food at Domino's, which is great. Like a Frisbee. It's like a branded Frisbee. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah.
Some fun stuff.
Right.
And then in the very bottom of this fucking bag is this gigantic, very loud whistle. Very loud whistle that says Domino's Pizza on it. I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, why would you do this? You have young children. What are you thinking? Why would you give us this?
Are these children at risk of being lost at sea or something? They do not need this.
And it was like, and we've had whistles in the house before, and they're always problematic, of course. But like, this was like the loudest of all the whistles that we've ever encountered. It was so fucking loud. And it's like this. There's no cause in the pizza realm for whistle.
Yeah,
there's nothing in
pizza. I'm not sure what that fits in with exactly.
Like, nothing.
If when the pizza's done, do you blow like 140 decibel whistle or something like that? You do this every 90 seconds when the pizza is done? I don't get this.
That's why we installed beepers into ovens, so we don't have to deal with whistles about it. And so maybe maybe these are all like pre-beeper oven whistles. They're just trying to unload on kids. But God, so we put a kibosh on that one pretty fast.
Mm.
Pretty fast. That one may be in a drawer somewhere. What were we talking about?
Where were you? I don't remember.
Boy, let me
see. We took away the drum. We took away a drum because he was being bad.
Oh, yeah, took away the drum for being bad. And they let him go. But they let him go, but he can't. No more drum.
Right.
So jury goes free. He's not happy because he doesn't have a drum.
Mm-hmm.
Mompassant is also not terribly happy because he would like jury to pay for
he wanted blood. Crimes. Yeah, he was there for blood. Yeah.
And he learned an important lesson that day. You don't press charges. You just cut a bitch. Is what he learned.
I've seen all the sights of Artesy in this county, which is not much. And now I'm here to do some lawyering. So
yeah. So they took the drum away, though. That's enough. So Mompassant is like, yeah, that's fine. So he goes back to Tedworth, which is where he's from. And he goes back home, and he wipes his hands on the thing. He says, glad that's over.
Mm-hmm.
A few days later, a package arrives at Mompassant's door.
Okay.
He opens it up, and inside the package, he finds William Drury's drum.
That's a big drum.
It's a big drum.
You have
big package.
When you open up the front door after this whole escapade, you know exactly what that is. This cylindrical package.
Huge and cylindrical. Yeah. What could it be? Mm-hmm. So it opens up. So the drum is there. The bailiff had sent it over, thinking he might like to have it. And it says restitution, right? This is great.
Yeah, put it up on the mantle. You were harmed by this man. Now you are made whole. With drum.
Absolutely. Now, now you are become annoying man.
Mm-hmm.
Now you, that's you. You can if you want now. You have the power.
Now, but is this some sort of curse? Does he now find himself drawn to playing the drum?
Well,
oh, it's please a don't good let
question.
That, please don't let that be the story. So,
let's just see how this plays out. Interesting question, Patrick. So the drum is now the property of John Mompassant.
Mm-hmm.
He takes it in the house. He puts it in one of his rooms and it's like, I guess, okay.
Doesn't really fit on the mantle.
Nice little trophy. Yeah, right. That night, the noises started.
Oh.
Mompassant and his family were all fast asleep.
Mm-hmm.
when suddenly there were these extraordinarily loud bangs from downstairs. It was apparently as if someone was knocking very hard on the door and also on the windows and also on the walls.
Interesting.
It's like an army of people just beating the shit out of their house
almost
from
like,
the outside with fists.
Almost like one would beat on a drum.
A drum? I wish I had. Oh, maybe I do. Hold on a second.
Just hit one. Just hit one. Fuck it. There you go.
That's not bad.
That's the instinct. That's a good instinct right there.
Yeah. Should I try more just in case?
Yeah, why not?
Nope.
Nope.
Nope. Nope. Got it in one. Got it in the first one. That's fine.
Thanks, Jeremy.
So the bangs are happening. Now, Mompasan goes downstairs. He runs down. He's, you know, he's woken up. He's like panicking. He's frantic. He runs down the stairs. There's nothing there. There's no one certainly in the house. There's no one outside the house. There's nothing happening. He goes back upstairs. And as soon as he falls asleep again, the knocking resumes. And again, it's doors, it's windows, it's walls, like the whole house is like rattling. But this time it also is coming from the roof.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's spreading fast.
Hmm.
They are surrounded by this like cacophony of bangs and booms. The children wake up crying.
As they do.
Yep. I mean, they're going to anyway. may or may not have anything to do with the sounds. His wife is also very angry because she is sure it's something he did. But the whole family's awake. They cannot find the source of these sounds. Like, while it's all happening, while this, like, the noises are going on in the house, as if someone is, like, just banging shit out of their home, no one is outside. They can't find, there's nothing. There's nothing happening. It's just loud.
Is it the wind?
It could be. And that is, this is the story of the wind. This is the story of how the wind started. So they can't find it. So they're frustrated. They try to go back to sleep. It's very loud, but they're like, what are we going to do? There's nothing. Like, I don't know what's going on. This continues for weeks. Every single night, the house is beat to shit by this invisible force that hammers away the whole structure, and they cannot, they have no idea what's happening. It just keeps happening. One night, Mompasan, who is just out of his mind with lack of sleep, like no one in the house is sleeping. They're all going very rapidly insane. He's like, I've fucking had enough. He grabs his pistol.
Oh boy.
And he starts shooting at the sounds in the house. Now, there's nothing to shoot.
Right, sure.
And this famously sounds
and this is no corporeal. And this is no quieter than the banging. The pistol. No, in the house, it's,
I would guess
quite it's a bit louder than the banging.
Yeah, quite a bit louder. But it makes him feel better, and that's something.
Yeah, that's what guns are there for. Shooting the house to make you feel good.
I think so. I mean, as far as I can tell, I think that's right. he shoots through some windows. He puts some holes in his own walls, and that's about the extent of his effectiveness. But the sounds do not stop. They never pause. They never slow. They do not stop. They just keep going. And he's just out of his fucking mind. This goes on for a full month. After a month of this happening every single night, finally, the drumming increases in ferocity. Oh, it gets worse.
Turns into a solo of sorts. It's very interesting.
The bangs are now getting closer and closer inside the house. So now they're coming inside the house.
Okay.
Before, like, for the last month, they've been outside the whole structure. Now they're inside the house. Now the walls inside are being banged. And they seem to be slowly getting closer and closer to the room where Mompasan has stashed the drum.
God, can you imagine how loud that'll be when they get there?
I think that's the whole problem. We've learned to live with this, but oh my God. It's like chomping a cigar. My God. When they find the drum room. So each night, sounds get louder and louder. They move through the house. When the sounds eventually do reach the room where the drum is, they hunker down there for several nights, and they are in this room. And so, and now the sounds are no longer outside the house.
Right.
They've moved.
Right.
Right. They've
collapsed. But they've centralized.
They've centralized. So it's a little better.
Yeah. Now it's like a like really annoying neighbor. You can sleep through that.
Yeah. Right? Now, I don't know how big their house is. I'm guessing their insulation is not like real good.
It's mostly hay. So I.
Yeah. Hay is a real good transmitter of music. So they're still it's still bad, but at least it's in one spot. Now, in that room, the walls are going fucking crazy. Ceiling, walls, floor in that room, just unbelievable. Just sounds constantly. But it is only in that one room. So that is better, but it's still bad. The whole family at this point, it's been like 2 months. They're out of their fucking minds. They have not slept a full night. No one in the house has. They have kids. The kids are, you know, already so terrible. And then have not slept. The parents haven't slept. Like, whatever. Everyone's terrified. They have no idea what's going on. Now, they're thinking, like, this is bad. Something paranormal is happening.
Right.
And it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a normal thing. It's a paranormal thing.
Mm-hmm.
But at least it's contained to the drum room. Like, we can work with that. But then, one night, the drum room falls completely silent.
Whew. Finally.
The sounds have moved.
Uh-oh.
To the children's rooms.
It's always the children's rooms. I would
always the children's
that.
Rooms. Yeah. Yeah. Now, at first, the kids hear the sounds of, quote, animalistic scratching from beneath their beds. So the sounds have also changed to something super, super more unsettling. And then the bed frames themselves are beaten and they start shaking.
Right.
It's if there is some invisible thing just like wailing on their beds.
Okay.
The kids are shaken about. They're also in some cases lifted from their beds. Not every night.
Mm-hmm. But enough.
But some nights.
Enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now I've got to imagine this dude has no family. Like at some point you could live with grandma. That's a pretty easy one. And I guess no friends in town. I don't.
Well, also this all started when the drum showed up. So I don't know. Here's a wild idea. Burn the fucking drum. Like go bury it in the backyard. He doesn't do that though. So the kids are getting all messed up. Now, Mama-san does not know what to do. It's like, this just like incessant nocturnal banging. It's terrorizing his children. So it goes on for 2 years.
Oh no.
Cause he doesn't know what to do.
I love that the bailiff could stand this for one night and this guy's put up with it for 2 years now.
Yeah. And that is, and so we'll talk about theories about this in a second, but yeah, the idea that the bailiff was like, oh no, you take this drum. That's a solid front runner. So it goes on for 2 years. Now, the sounds do not stay confined to the night. They rattle and bang around the house in the daytime eventually. Mm-hmm. And it's just like 24-7 just like smashing this house. And then it escalates in other ways. Household objects start to move by unseen hands, which makes the staff in the house very angry.
Mm-hmm.
And partly because like their things are being moved around. Partly because, just like the children, the staff also eventually starts being lifted from their beds. Their bed covers are thrown back while they're sleeping, and their possessions are thrown around the rooms. Some of the staff members are even pinned to their beds. Here is a quote. Despite attempts to chase the unseen spirit with swords, the paranormal activity continued in earnest. So, I don't know. Guns don't work. Swords don't work.
We don't have much else.
Tell you. Yeah. No, that's it. That's all the things. the drumming in the house has gotten also progressively louder. Loud enough to the point where the neighbors are now complaining because they can hear it.
Yeah. Oh, now you can hear it. Oh, now it's a big deal for you, I guess.
I've been begging you for months, Allison, to fucking help me. Now it's a problem. They say in addition to the sounds, lights would move about independently while Panting sounds and horrible, this is a quote, panting sounds and horrible sulfurous smells emanated from unknown sources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we already started this episode knowing exactly where the sulfurous smells were coming from. It's... That one I wouldn't be too worried about, guys. That one seems like you're just kind of trying to, yeah.
Pretty normal, actually. Yeah.
And also, I was over there the other day, and he must have let out a humongous fart, because we all smelled it. But it must have been the ghost.
Mompasson once wrote, quote, "It would make chairs, tables, trunks, and all movables walk up and down the rooms, and often come tumble down the stairs, sometimes making a noise like a howl, and other times as if it drew a chain after it."
Ooh.
What do you think they should do?
I'm going to assume moving is off the table, right?
For some reason, yes. But yeah. Again, you know, it's one of the tenets of iTag is just move.
Yeah.
Just move.
Just move, you stupid shit. That should be the that should be the next shirt.
Yeah.
I'm thinking they got to start playing the drum. Yeah, just a thought. That was...
Okay, it's outside of the box.
Okay, just... I'm thinking of the last time this drum was played, things were peaceful.
Uh-huh.
You know, except for the people within earshot of the drum, obviously. But
yeah, sure, that's different. Oh, but, so the drum just wants to be played. Mm-hmm. If the drum is not played, drum mm-hmm. plays house.
Exactly. It's like a greyhound. You got to get a big yard for a greyhound. Let that boy run.
Okay, it's...
If you're going to own a drum...
You lost me a little bit on the analogy. I was with you until the analogy.
If you buy a drum, you got to beat that boy every day.
Well, okay, so we don't that greyhound thing is that's nope. We're gonna strike that from the record. Jeremy, will you strike all that greyhound stuff just for Patrick's benefit? No, they get a priest.
Okay, to play the drum.
Yeah, I think so. Let's find out. So the priest comes over to check out the house and the haunting and stuff. And because what we've got now is a classic poltergeist.
Yes.
Right. Like the troublemaking ghost. Now, this is obviously very interesting because there's no, we don't have any sort of, there's no idea of like where the poltergeist comes from. Like what, it's attached to the drum, it seems like.
Clearly, yes.
But like no one, I don't know, it's an object.
Right. But what are we going to do about the drum?
Poltergeist.
You know, it's.
But it's a cool trophy.
Yeah, it's so, a cool like, trophy of that time I got it. That dude arrested for playing the drum.
For like 3 hours. Yeah. This is the proudest I've ever been was that day. And we can't let it go. So they bring in a priest. The priest comes in to check out the situation. He's like, I can't do this alone. Now, he needs a second priest, obviously. You have to have an old priest and a young priest.
Yeah, we've been over this.
Yes. Now, he doesn't have an old priest. He's a young priest. He doesn't have an old one. He doesn't have access, I guess, to an old priest. So instead, he decides to fill that gap with lots of sleep-deprived villagers.
Okay.
He goes, he gathers all of the neighbors, and he says, will you help me rid this house of this poltergeist? And they say, man, I don't know. Yeah. I fucking guess. I don't know.
It's 1661. It's what are my options here exactly? Go back and cut more hay one blade at a time in the field? Or listen to the house get beat on for the rest of my life? Yeah, sure. What the fuck?
Let's go check it out.
Yeah.
So the group assembles and they go and they go in the house with this whole group of townsfolk led by this priest. Mm-hmm. They go in the house, they go up to the children's room and they find that when they pray in that room, the drumming sounds fade away and move somewhere else in the house.
Interesting.
Uh-huh. And furthermore, they discover when they stop praying, the sounds return.
Mm-hmm. What if they just like turn the radio on very softly? What would happen then?
What if they tune in to like some like Mississippi, you know, deep south, like Christian, very intense Christian music and just like crank it up, put an amp on that thing and just let's just go. So here's a quote from folks there. As did the spirit's anger, which caused chairs to move around the room and hurled shoes and any other loose object it could get its spectral hands on. So this all returns to the room. So like, it's not just that it comes back, but it comes back with a vengeance. So there's something going on, like prayer is working a little bit. So it's definitely some sort of devil.
Okay.
word about the Mompesson house is spreading. It's been a couple of years, of course, so people are really, really figuring it out. Service folks, downstairs people, as we'll call them, don't want to work there because they hear bad things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can imagine the glass door review is getting pretty bad at this point.
Like, it's the yeah. stars are disappearing quickly. One day, a blacksmith comes over to stay with the footmen to help them see that this is nothing. He's like, yeah, I'm a big strong. He's a Giga Chad.
Yeah, absolutely.
big strong Giga Chad. Trust me, you're fucking betas. I'm gonna come over. I'm gonna show you. There's nothing going on here. But during the night, a pair of pincers, of his blacksmith pincers, lifted up on their own and continually snapped at the blacksmith's nose. And he ran out of there like a real beta. Now, in 1663, so again, 2 years after this starts, a demonologist named Joseph Glanwill comes to visit. And in Glanwill's account of that visit, he states, quote, I heard a strange scratching as I went up the stairs, and when we came into the room, I perceived it was just behind the bolster of the children's bed and seemed to be against the tick.
Okay. Is that a part?
I guess so.
Whatever.
I checked the IKEA part list. It was as loud a scratching as one with long nails could make upon a bolster.
Probably a board or something. Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
There were two little modest girls in the bed, between 7 and 11 years old, as I guessed. Now, he could have just asked.
Right, yeah.
he's right there. I saw their hands out over the clothes, and they could not contribute to the noise that was behind their heads. So it's happening. The girls are not making the sound.
Right, yeah.
He's checking for fraud. The girls are not doing it.
Right. But they are laying in the bed.
They're laying in the bed. They're laying in the bed.
It's just a very, very awkward situation here. Like,
you could probably find another place for them. Yeah. Is there a couch?
They could maybe go to school. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was 11 a.m. Mm. I believe in school in 1600s. Mm. It's not important. You got to work. Got to work. So the family's at its wit's end. So they take... So their solution is to take William Drury back to court. And what? Well, you have questions? You may be wondering, under what sort of auspices are they taking?
Absolutely, yes.
Drew back
first,
to court
second, and third questions I have. Yes.
Great question. They were able to do this under the Witchcraft Act of 1604.
This one's finally having a time in the sun.
He obviously has committed witchcraft against their house.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Clearly cursed this drum so that it would carry this poltergeist into them. And the law recognizes, I want to be very clear, the legal law recognizes that as a real offense. And they say, yep, well, we got to find out if this guy did witchcraft on this drum. So they bring it to court. Now, Mompesson, during the trial, Mompesson and three other men testified to the ghostly activity that had befallen the house since the drum had arrived.
Mm-hmm. Right. The drum that they refused to get rid of. Just so we're
it's
clear.
It's still there.
Right, yeah.
It's still in this room.
At any point.
Okay. It's very easy to get rid of this drum, or at least to put it in the top drawer of their dresser.
Or, I mean, you re-gift it. This is not a hard thing to do. You burn it. You throw it in the water.
A lot of if it floats, it's a witch, and you burn it. It's very, like, this is 1661. They have enemies, right? Mm-hmm. Like, of course. And so this is a very easy solution. I like what you've presented here.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You give it to some, you re-gift it to your worst fucking enemy.
You trebuchet this thing across the channel into France, and you never think about it again.
And the entire course of human history is changed. One of the witnesses in the trial, speaking on behalf of Mompesson, was a servant for the house who gave this statement, quote, "I," says the drummer, "it was because he took my drum from me. That trouble had never befallen him, and he shall never have his quiet again till I have my drum or satisfaction from him."
Hmm.
So he's saying that the drummer has cursed them.
Okay.
Now, this seems insane because I don't think anyone other than Mompesson has actually talked to Drury ever. But the servant is like, yeah, I'll toe that line.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed pretty clear that Drury had called a poltergeist down on Mauvaisan. And in fact, I should say, this was the first poltergeist ever on record in the United Kingdom.
Hmm. Wow.
Now, I wish I could show you a photo of this poltergeist, of course.
Right.
And of course, I cannot. However, would you like to see a wood cutting?
I would love to see more wood cuttings of this situation.
The situation? There you go.
Who are all of his little friends? It's like, are they his dogs?
His entourage.
Okay, I can see it.
You got to have an entourage. Yeah. If you're a demon of any sort of, you know, mm-hmm. sway, got to have an entourage.
I'm glad he finally has the drum. That's all. I'm glad he finally has the drum. He's out of the house.
Yeah.
The palatial house of four fireplaces in it. And just let him be. Just let him take that drum.
Banging that drum. Ah! So that's our boy. That's our ghost. Our poltergeist here. Now, so the jurors in this case, you may be shocked to learn, were kind of actually torn. In the end, quote, the drummer was sent to the American colonies, never to be seen again. So motherfucker is guilty.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Here's a bit of possible insight. In 1662, William Drury, the drummer, was arrested. And this was the next year after this whole thing started. Right. Drury was arrested for theft and sentenced to deportation. Then, while in prison, he confessed to being the cause of Maupassant's paranormal troubles. So that the quote that servant gave may have actually been true.
Mm-hmm.
He may have confessed actually with those words. So they were still going to transport him to America, but he had escaped from the transportation barge before more charges could be brought. So then they caught him again. And then, you know, during this trial, they were like, this time you're definitely going. Yeah. It's hard to know if it's because they found him guilty for this particular thing, or if they're like, you have to go. We've already sent you once. Yeah. You got to do it this time. After that, though, there are no further reports of the banging on Maupassant's house and whether or not the poltergeist ever got sick of, you know, fucking around with that
interesting
place. Yeah.
Hmm.
And that's what we know about the poltergeist that came with the drummer of Tedworth. I do want to spend some time. We have a little bit of time here, I think, before our clock runs out. Sure. Speculating about the origins of this ghost. So one is like, yeah, the drummer made a curse and blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
Set that aside.
Mm-hmm.
Where is this ghost coming from?
I'm going to play. I won't say devil's advocate because
drummer's advocate.
Yeah, the opposite side. It really sounds like this guy just had such a bone to pick with the drummer that he's like, you know what? This guy, this busking guy has pissed me off so much, I'm going to get him arrested. Then I'm going to take his drum.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm going to make up 2 years worth of bullshit going on with like banging on the house and whatnot. Then I'm going to get him arrested again. And tell everyone that he was the one that's been banging on the house the whole time. And then I'm going to get him deported.
That fucker's going to the colonies for sure. Yeah. And here's how we do it. Listen, family, this is going to be a terrible 2 years, but it will be worth it because spite.
Yeah. This guy sounds very much like a Liam Neeson type. Like this just a long play here.
He has a very specific set of skills and it's getting people deported after a long game. yeah, that's probably most likely. Now, I'll postulate something else here. Let's say, what if the drum, before it came to Drury even, is possessed?
See, that's what I was thinking at the very beginning. Like, the drum clearly has...
Let's say Drury doesn't even want to play this drum without a busking license. Mm-hmm. He's embarrassed to be doing it without a busking license. But the drum will be played.
Right. He thinks maybe if I get arrested and they take the drum from me, maybe... You know, the curse leaves me.
I'm free.
Well. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I didn't quit drumming. The drum was taken from me.
That's right. And that seems to be true.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, what sort of person do you think imbues a drum with a poltergeist?
Boy.
I have a theory. I've just thought of this.
Okay.
I'm gonna guess that the drum part of the the stretched piece of the drum.
Yeah.
That's human skin.
Oh, we're going Necrodrumicon. That's what we're going here.
It is Necrodrumicon, yes. yeah. I think it's a Necrodrumicon, and someone has taken human skin.
Yeah, it's the Drum of the Dead. Yes.
It is absolutely. The Drum of the Dead, and the spirit of that dead person is now inside that drum and very angry.
I could see that. It's a big drum.
For very obvious reasons.
It's a big drum. You could
a lot of that skin.
You could fit someone in there. You could certainly fit someone in there.
Uh-huh.
You're like drumming on one day, and you're like, is that a belly button? That's weird. Anyway.
It's weird. Why is this drum hairy? Yeah. That's weird. It seems really strange. Well, whatever the reason, that is the story of the drummer of Tedworth and the poltergeist of that place. The first poltergeist in the United Kingdom.
Oh, and that means it's about time for us to get going.
the toilet is running. That's time for us to go. That's a good time for us to tell you that Is This a Ghost is a production of Smith Show Media. All the notes are taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were from Patrick Dean. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. Our social media team consists of Kai Valonis, Jennifer Jones, and Sam Murdoch. All our merch these days is being designed by Fox and Quill Studio. Super fun stuff. Go check it out. And that's our show. And you know what? What?
No, I was going to say, check back with Fox and Quill in a couple weeks. Check out their new Necrodrumicon shirt. It's going to be...
It's got to be.
It's going to be killer.
That's, it's going to have to beat people off of the stick to get that one. and yeah, it's been great. Come back next week. We'll have another one of these. Please subscribe so that you don't have to think about it. It shows up in your phone or whatever that you listen to stuff on. It's pretty cool. And I just don't fuck with buskers. Don't do it. They're talented. They are confident and they do not care about your rules. So do not fuck with them. Otherwise, we may talk about you next week on Is This a Ghost?